Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading from 2 Samuel 12. I read especially one verse, verse 13. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. We also use the canons of Dort, like we have been reading from the fifth head, article 7 till 9, and the theme for the sermon is preserved by God. 3 points of attention. The first point, the incorruptible seed of regeneration. The second point, God's people cannot totally fall. And the third point, true believers obtain assurance. So the theme is preserved by God. 3 points of attention, the incorruptible seed of regeneration. God's people cannot totally fall. And true believers obtain assurance. Beloved congregation, it happened that there was a drunkard, an alcoholic, and he was urged to sign the pledge and keep it. And he cried. He said, well, I do not want something to keep, but something to keep me. You understand? He was aware of his weakness, that he was not able to overcome this addiction in his own strength, and he needed to be kept. Well, addiction is a very special illustration of what is always true in the lives of each and every one of us. There are many things that we cannot overcome, and especially we have to say that from sin, in whatever way it might be, that we cannot overcome it in our own strength. There might be a certain thing that we can change, but sin as such in our heart, we cannot overcome it. And we cannot change the inclination of our hearts. I hope you understand this alcoholic, this drunkard. Not that I hope that you have an addiction, but that you are aware of your own weakness, so that you will not be proud and think that you can manage without Christ. This is not possible, young people, adults. We need to be kept. So this drunkard cried, I need something to keep me. He should have said, I need someone to keep me. We need Christ to keep us. Do you believe that he is able to do it? And we have seen last week, the trouble is that we do not stay under that influence of the word like we should. And under the influence of the Spirit and the influence of Christ like we should. And so, children of God can fall and do fall in sin. How sad it is. And we've read that story, that history of David. Very, very sad to see the man after the heart of God, who fell so deeply and didn't come back himself till the Lord was sending his servant Nathan. David, fallen in adultery and even became a murderer, and not repenting for a time. At a hard time, so stubborn are we so unwilling to repent? If you read Psalm 32, then you see as soon as he repented, the Lord forgave him. So we have to see the Lord is much more willing and ready to forgive than we are willing and ready to confess and acknowledge. How foolish is it? But although this is true, the children of God can fall in sin and do fall every day in all kinds of sin, and sometimes in very terrible sins, like David was falling, they will not totally fall away by the grace of God. For in the first place, in these falls, he preserves in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration. What is that? The incorruptible seed of regeneration. If you would put seed in the ground, I don't know, children, if your parents have a vegetable garden, and if they put beans in the ground, then the beans will corrupt. They will rotten away, and then a new plant will grow, so there come new beans. But the seed is corruptible. But here, the canons of Dort speak about an incorruptible seed, the seed of regeneration, which is the Word of God. So that is staying. In their fall, there's still that seed, like Job says, that a root is in him. It can be a time, that you do not see the fruits like they should be, but there's still that root of the case of the work of the Lord, that incorruptible seed of regeneration is there. That will never go away. God's people cannot totally fall away from grace. Oh, what a deep comfort. If you do see your own weakness, like the drunkard saw it, and like all the children of God are seeing, more and more, deeper and deeper, their own weakness, and how much they need Christ their whole life. It's a teaching of the Lord Jesus. I'm the vine. You are the branches. So what is a branch without a vine? If you cut it loose from the vine, it will wither. It will be impossible to expect any fruit. And that's an illustration of how the life child of God is. It has to be in Christ and to receive continuously everything out of Christ. There's no hope if they would be left to their own and would have to do it in their own strength. So the Lord is preserving in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration from perishing or being totally lost. Why are they teaching this? Well, the Arminians would teach in this time, so imagine, in the Netherlands, many pulpits, there was a teaching that you could fall away. And indeed, true believers did fall away. That's what the teaching was. So there was a need to write down what the teaching of the Word is. They studied it, came together in a synod, and they wrote it down. So the Arminians would say, well, a child of God can fall away from grace. A situation of going to be lost. And, well, come to grace again. And that can repeatedly happen. Now our fathers have written down here in the canons of Dort that that is not the case, because in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration is preserved by the Lord. He will not forsake his own work. It's impossible. That will not happen. And again, by his word and spirit, certainly and effectually renews them to repentance, to a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator. So what we have read about David. David didn't repent. And he had a hard time. He felt the hand of the Lord upon him. He dried out. He suffered even physically because of the distance that was between him and the Lord because of his sin. But the Lord is so faithful. He is sending his servant, the prophet Nathan, and he is preaching, telling that story. And David thought, well, this is awful. He thought he was looking to a certain painting. And then all at a sudden, the prophet said, no, it's a mirror. It's about you. And then David was breaking, his heart was breaking. What the Lord did by the power of his word. That's what he will do to all his children. In his way and his time, he will bring them to true repentance and sincere and godly sorrow for their sins, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator. Yeah, it's really a miracle that a king of Israel is humbling himself and said, I have sinned. So he deserved to die. He was a murderer. And then the Lord in his grace said, you will not die and your sin is forgiven. Is there anybody here who's thinking that he has sinned too much? Satan will say that to the children of God when they have fallen in sin. Now it's over. It's impossible. You should not think that there's a way back for you. He wants to make them desperate so that they will not return to the Lord in true repentance. But look what happened to David, how the Lord forgave him as soon as he confessed. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Uriah. Sure, but he said, I've sinned against the Lord. That was the most terrible thing in his sin. Sinned against a good and gracious, merciful God. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. There's someone here who is silent about his sin. Silent before the Lord. Why? Read what happens. The Lord forgives the sin of David and he receives life where he deserves death. What a miracle. How good is God? How gracious and merciful. To a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins. So we should pay attention to those words. A sincere and godly sorrow for their sins. There can be a sorrow about sin for sin in the hearts of those that are not born again. You think about what the Apostle Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he is speaking about two different kinds of sorrow. says there's a godly sorrow which worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. So that repentance, you will never repent about that. So good, so sweet to bow before the Lord. It's painful to acknowledge how you are, but then to fall in His hands as a poor sinner that has to condemn himself, you will not repent that. He will not cast you out. He will wash you and cleanse you by the power of the blood of Christ. But there is that other sorrow, the sorrow of the world, which worketh death. You think about Judas, who repented. It says in Scripture, Judas repented himself, saying, I have sinned. So he saw that he had sinned, and he acknowledged before man. And then it says, and he went and hanged himself. It was not like David repented that he had sinned against the Lord, but he saw what he had done, and he saw what came out of it, and he really regretted that, but not in a way that he loaded himself in true repentance before the Lord. Totally different from what we see in the life of Peter. When Peter denied the Lord, it's written, he went out and he wept bitterly. He was broken in his heart before the Lord. So children, you can feel sad about sin that you have done. What kind of sadness is it? If you have done something wrong against what your parents told you that you should do, you've done a thing that they told you should not do it, you can feel sad about it. But there's a difference if you feel sad because you have hurt your parents in disobedience and trespassed their commandment, or you're afraid for the punishment and do not regret about what you did as such, do not repent about it. You feel the difference. You're just afraid of the punishment. It's not the love to your parents that makes you sad about it, but it's the love to yourself that you are afraid about what is coming out of what you did. So it says here, a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator. That's what Judas didn't do. He didn't seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator. And that they may again experience the favor of a reconciled God through faith, adore His mercies, and henceforward more diligently work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, that's a fruit, you could say. I told you that I was never afraid of a dog, I told you before, till I was bitten by a dog in South Africa and brought me 2 days in hospital. My arm teared open, blood came out, and the doctor was afraid of infection and had to lay with my arm like that whole night. So since that day, I really trembled when there was a dog. I remember the first time I just walked on the street and a dog there, and I wouldn't even notice it before, and now I thought, oh, what am I gonna do now? There's a dog. So if you have seen what sin does to your soul and to the Lord, how terrible it is, how horrible, you will more diligently work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, how good is God, that He is keeping that seed That uncorruptible seed. You can think about what is written in the first letter of John. It says, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God, which means he cannot live in sin. Yeah, a child of God can fall in sin, but cannot live in sin because of that new life worked by the Spirit. And Peter says in his first letter, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. That is a secret. It's God's work. So that will not fail. That will not stop. The Lord will not forsake his own work. What a deep comfort in the hearts of the children of God when they see their weakness. And when they fall, oh, that they are still from the word, is hope worked and received in the heart, because they know that God is a gracious and merciful God. So don't believe the lies of Satan, who will say that there is no way back for you. You have fallen in a terrible sin. There is a way. As long as you are in a time of grace, cry out to this Savior. O child of God, the Lord will not forsake his work. And you that say, but I don't know if I have that incorruptible seed in my heart and life. Today is a day of grace, isn't it? A day to receive that work and seed in your heart. The seed is here in the proclamation of the word. And oh, and the Spirit is using that proclamation to work in the hearts, and that you would have hope in the Lord and flee to this Savior that is seeking sinners that cannot save themselves. Our first thought was the incorruptible seed of regeneration. The second thought is God's people cannot totally fall, or not totally fall away. That's impossible. That's what the word of God is teaching us. Well, the Arminians would say that it can. And they say, well, they stressed that perseverance depends on man's free will. So they would deny that after the fall in sin, man does not have a free will to do the good. Yeah, we do the evil, and we do it willingly. But they would say, no, it depends on man's free will. So they put all the emphasis on the believer. Well, they would say, well, God may extend a helping hand, but it ultimately depends on man. Man must do his duty. Otherwise, he will fall away after receiving grace. So they make a depending on man. Who will boast in the end if man would be saved? Well, man would boast. Well, the Lord helped me, but yeah, I did it right. I did my duty. So now here I am. No, that's not the way the children of God will enter the glory of God. It will be that they will be amazed about the grace and patience and faithfulness of God, and acknowledge that it is all his work that they are kept, and that they are brought to grace and kept, and brought again to that full experience of grace. If it would depend on me, if it would depend on you, I would certainly fall. I would fall away. Sometimes you can tremble and fear about yourself, isn't it? Like David, who was persecuted by Saul, and he became so discouraged that he said, well, one day I will fall in the hand of Saul. I will die. And if you see how Satan is attacking you, well, a child of God can have those thoughts one day, I will fall and die. But that is not true. That is not according to the word. And it's not good to think that way. We should honor the Lord by resting and trusting in Him and hiding in Him and acknowledge that strong security and safety in Him who is a perfect Savior. If it would depend on me, I will certainly fall. So the Arminians would say, well, a child of God can fall. But what a true believer is learning is, I will certainly fall if it would depend on me. I cannot stand in my own strength. And at the same time, a child of God will see by the grace of the Lord from the word of God. But it will not happen because it depends on the Lord. Article 8 says, thus it is not in consequence of their own merits or strength, but of God's free mercy, that they do not totally fall from faith and grace, nor continue and perish finally in their backslidings. So what are backslidings? That you slide away from that right way that the Lord brought you in, the way to walk in a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved by Him alone. Oh, there can be times that you have backsliding. You do not pray like you should. You do not study and meditate upon the Word. You do not watch against the temptations of the world and sin. And you give in to certain sins, to certain wrong habits, more and more. You slide away. And how will you ever come back? Did you ever try that? To slide from a hill and stop? Try to turn back? That's impossible for us. It is the mercy of God bringing His children back. It is not in consequence of their own merits or strength, but of God's free mercy, that they do not totally fall from faith and grace, nor continue and perish finally in their backslidings. It's God's goodness. Oh, it makes you more and more amazed about how merciful God is. That He again and again is showing His power, His grace, His faithfulness to stop you in your backsliding and to draw you back by His mercy and the love of Christ, which with respect to themselves is not only possible, but would undoubtedly happen. So, with respect to ourselves, it would undoubtedly happen that we would totally fall away. It would depend from us. We would certainly fall away. We would not be able to stay in that state of grace if it would depend from us. But with respect to God, it is utterly impossible. Since, why is it impossible? Since His counsel cannot be changed. God is not changing like man can change. You make a promise. Someone else is making a promise to you. Then afterwards it doesn't happen. Maybe that person forgot. Maybe he changed his mind. That's what we human beings do many times. But the counsel of God cannot be changed. His word is true and firm, and His counsel is unchangeable. There's a deep comfort for a child of God. There's a strong foundation that we know God is to be trusted. His counsel cannot be changed, nor his promise fail. Would the Lord promise something? And you trust that promise by a living faith, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, and then God is not keeping his promise? No, that is impossible. His promise cannot fail. Neither can the call according to his purpose be revoked. So the Lord has called those that he is saving out of the darkness to his wonderful light, to the knowledge of Christ. Can that be revoked? No, certainly not. And nor the merits, intercession and preservation of Christ be rendered ineffectual. The merit. What does that mean? The merit of Christ. It says it's not about our own merits. But if we speak about the merit of Christ, and then we think about what is written in the letter to the Hebrews, where it says that Christ is a high priest, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's the merit of Christ. That eternal redemption, why we are acceptable, by which we are acceptable before the holy and righteous God. That merit of Christ that cannot be rendered ineffectual. And the intercession of Christ, what is that intercession? Let me try to make it clear to you, children. What is intercession? Well, maybe you have done something that you deserve punishment. And now your older brother is coming and talking to your parents and said, yes, he did wrong, but you know, there was a reason and he couldn't help it, and so it shouldn't be fair to punish my little brother. So then your older brother is speaking for you to keep your parents back from punishing you. Well, that example is not very good, because we deserve punishment before God, from God. But Christ is making intercession in such a way that he is speaking for us. And he has a full right to do that, because he has paid. So let me try to use a better example. There's a criminal in court, and he deserves punishment. He has to pay a fee, and he has no money. And now, instead of that, he is going to prison or to jail because of what he did wrong, there is an advocate, and he is paying that fee for him. So now that criminal is free because someone else paid for him. Well, that is what Christ has done. And he is making intercession that in such a way that he is praying as a great high priest. We can think about what we read in Scripture. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is there in heaven, pleading for his children. Father, I have paid for this man, this girl, so I do not want him or her to perish. I have paid with my own blood. That is to make intercession. While you deserve punishment, that you will not receive it, but will be free, will not receive that eternal damnation which we should receive if it was done according to our sins. that intercession of Christ that cannot be rendered ineffectual. Christ is God. It cannot be ineffectual. Or the preservation of Christ cannot be ineffectual. Like the Lord Jesus says in John 10, that no one can snatch them out of the hand of his Father. Or it is so beautifully described in the Belgi Confession of Faith, Article 26, where it says about the Lord Jesus, there's no one who loved us more than he who laid down his life for us. How could it be ineffectual, this love of Christ? Oh, what a perfect salvation. No, the counsel of the Lord cannot be changed. It says in Psalm 33, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. That's what God says. And that's what God's child is experiencing. That's why they will enter that glory of God, because of the work of Christ. Yeah, and Paul says in Romans 11, the election hath obtained it. God has ordained them, and he will make them to obtain it. Paul says in the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So I could continue for a long time to mention all the teaching of Scripture about this faithfulness and grace of Lord. Did you experience it? You did, child of God. How many times? How good is the Lord? How long-suffering? How forbearing? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing a Psalter 427, stanza 1 till 3. 427, stanza 1. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. 427, stanza 1 till 3. congregation, true believers obtain assurance. Sometimes happens that someone would say, when I visited in another congregation, say, "Pastor, I don't think you can ever be sure if you will enter heaven." And that's not true. Scripture is clear about that. That there is assurance of salvation to be obtained by true believers. And that's what we find in Scripture. Or someone would say, "Well, I think it's better that I do not have assurance. That would make me proud or make me more careless." That is not true either. That's not according to the teaching of the Word. What would make you more humble than to know that God is so faithful that He will not cast away such a wretched and poor sinner as I am? And we know that Paul is testifying about it in Romans 8, and nothing can separate him from the love of God in Christ. No powers, no nothing, nothing in the future, whatever might try to do, nothing could separate him from the love of God in Christ. And canons of Dort say that the sealing of the Holy Spirit cannot be frustrated or obliterated. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's how Scripture is speaking about that assurance. Do all believers have assurance? Well, we have to say, when true faith is exercised, there is a certain measure of assurance. Faith as such, it means trusting. So there is some assurance, some knowledge that this is true. That's why there's faith, work by the Spirit. That's how the Spirit is working faith in the heart of a person. But it is true and it's scriptural that assurance can be very weak, or do I have to say faith can be very weak, especially in the beginning. Can be many questions, many things can be not so clear, can be some confusion. That new spiritual life is so tender, so that you could say fruit of assurance is small and weak, and can be a lot of doubting, and there really is. And it's sad if people have that for a long time. I know there are true children of God that struggle with assurance for a long time. And there can be different reasons for that. There can be a lack of clear teaching. Where is the foundation of my salvation? And what do I have to feel or experience? People can struggle with those questions with the result of a lack of assurance. And that is sad because, you know, it's more to the glory of God and to the benefit of our soul if we see how firm salvation is in Christ, how secure my soul is when I hide by true faith in Him. The Scripture is speaking about assurance as the sealing of the Holy Spirit. I like that way of speaking about assurance. Sealing. No, that's what they did in history and all the times. Put a seal on a letter that was written so that it was clear, this is the letter of the king. This content is true, it's trustable. So when the Holy Spirit is sealing in your life, He's giving assurance. like using the word of God and making it so powerful to your heart. That's why we have to study the word and meditate upon the word, so that the Holy Spirit would use the word of God, the promises of God, that they, by the grace of God, will be so, become so clear and powerful, that I have those times that I say, yes, I know it for sure. It is true. It is true for me. It's according to the word. And so that you receive that inward testimony by the Spirit in your heart. Like Paul says in the letter to the Romans, that that Spirit is testifying, or how does it say, with my spirit. So that those two unite in a testimony of the work of the Lord to save my soul from my guilt and sin. So that work of that sealing of the Holy Spirit cannot be frustrated. Article 9 says, of this preservation of the elect to salvation and of their perseverance in the faith, true believers for themselves may and do obtain assurance according to the measure of their faith. There's a clear teaching that there is assurance obtained by true believers, but it is according to the measure of their faith. So the stronger faith is, the more assurance there is received. And it's scriptural that there's a growing in knowledge and grace. Grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's scriptural to speak about the life of faith in different ways. There are babes in faith, babies, and there are young people, and there are adults, those that are grown up in that knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To grow in grace doesn't mean that you become bigger and bigger, more sure of yourself. No, that's maybe growing in this world. But to grow in grace is that Christ becomes more and more for you, that he becomes greater and greater. So, and you become less. You decrease and he is increasing. Because by the light of the Spirit you see more and more how weak you are and how much you sin against God and how corrupt your heart is and depraved. How can you become bigger and bigger? You become less and less, like John the Baptist says. And Christ becomes more. He becomes everything. It's all his work. It's his faithfulness. It's his grace. That is to grow in grace. And it certainly happens when we see Christ more and more and use the means of the word to meditate upon the word and to pray. The Lord will bless it, and the Holy Spirit will use it. Of this preservation of the elect to salvation and of their perseverance in the faith, true believers for themselves may and do obtain assurance according to the measure of their faith. So they will know it for sure, more and more, according to the measure of their faith, that they will not fall away totally, that the Lord will not forsake them, but that he will keep them. How deep the way might be in which they are led, or how terribly they might fall, that the Lord can chastise and will and not cast them out or away. They know that more and more, whereby they arrive at a certain persuasion that they ever will continue true and living members of the church. So when Satan attacks and says, well, one day you will fall in the hands of Saul, fall in the power of Satan, then how good it is if you have that persuasion worked by the Lord in your heart. That is not true. That is certainly not too true, whereby they arrive at a certain persuasion that they ever will continue true and living members of the church, because it does not depend on them, but depends on the Lord. True and living members of the church. There was a person who said, I am so safe because I'm in the arms of Christ. And someone else says, I'm even more safe. What? Yes, he says, I am an arm of Christ. So he means, I'm a member of his body, a member of the church, and that they experience forgiveness of sins and will at last inherit eternal life. That they experience forgiveness of sins. So the Lord is working that persuasion and that experience of forgiveness of sins. Maybe you have some questions about that. Forgiveness of sins. Are my sins forgiven? And how do you experience that? Pastor, I did confess my sins before the Lord, but I do not feel that they are forgiven. I don't know. Is it true in my life? Maybe you have that question. So sometimes people will immediately, when they confess their sin, receive a peace in their hearts. That's not always the case. It can take some time that the Holy Spirit will use the word to work that persuasion, and that more and more to experience that peace of forgiveness of sin. That's not the same in everybody. So there are different ways that the Lord is leading people, and we should be careful that we do not think that forgiveness of sin and the truth of the promise of the Lord is depending from our feeling. No, our feelings change all the time. But the truth of the word and the promise of God is not changing. If you make it dark in this building, it would be a dark night, all the lights are out. That pew would still be there. Couldn't see it. It is there. So if the Lord has worked in a heart, there can be a time that I do not feel it, like a time of darkness. But that doesn't mean that there is not the work of the Lord received in the heart. So be careful that you make your assurance or your salvation not depending from your feelings. I'm not saying that you will not feel and experience things, but in a measure that the Lord is knowing how it is good for you and that he is granting it, we shouldn't compare too much to someone else, and we should know that the word of God is true and does not depend from my feelings. And there will be feelings, of course. If this becomes more and more clear to me, that God has forgiven all my sins. Is that true? All those many terrible sins in my life. Would I not feel anything? Well, there are times that I feel like shouting for joy, jumping for joy. But there are times that it does not touch my heart like it should. But that doesn't mean that his forgiveness is not real, you know. So we should rest in the word of God. And in his time and measure, he will work that experience of the forgiveness of sins. And will at last, child of God will at last inherit eternal life. You can speak in different ways about eternal life. can speak about it like the Lord Jesus does in John 17. This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So that is here and now. But the Lord is working spiritual life, that's eternal life, real life. You can also speak about the full experience after, or in the better life, after this life in heaven. And that is what certainly will be inherited, will be received by the children of God. Oh, what a salvation has the Lord prepared for sinners, sinner like I am. Is it not a complete salvation? Would it not be enough for you to be saved? Everything is to be found in Christ. Why would you not flee to Him today for the first time or again? He will not cast you out, but He will save you. If you flee in true repentance, to rest by faith in Him alone. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, save our souls. Thou art the only one that is able to do that. And thy word is so clear that there is abundance of grace for wretched sinners, that enemies will be saved and the ungodly will be justified by faith. O Lord, it's the work of the Spirit. And that Spirit is the Holy Spirit, is God. Nothing is impossible. It's inclining the hearts, applying the word, and sealing so that there will be assurance and a persuasion that this cannot be taken away, O Lord, that nothing can separate from the love of God in Christ. Bless thy word, forgive everything that was not according to thine holy will in speaking and listening. Be with us when we go home, protect us on the dangerous road. Be with us in this night, that we might rest. And if we cannot sleep, O, that we might lift up our hearts to thee, O Lord. And be with us in this week, O, that there might be opportunities to speak a good word of this blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that His love might be like a fire burning in our hearts, to burn away all that impurity and that corruption, depravity, so that He will be the King of my heart, Lord, like He is worthy to receive. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Forgive everything that was not good, O Lord. Bless thine own work. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen.